price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. You can say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a future fade.
Everybody, happy Monday, happy Monday, happy Monday. Wait a minute. It's not Monday. It's not Monday at all. It's Thursday. Why am I here on a Thursday? I'll tell you why I'm here on a Thursday. Because this past Monday was the New York Hot Sauce judging for the New York Hot Sauce Expo. It was a judging event that happened that I'm so happy and humbled to have the opportunity to take part of. I think this is my fourth year in a row being a judge for this event. Man. So the event itself is in a couple of weeks, but the judging takes place ahead of time, and man, it is so much fun. A lot of just really cool people, and you know, like the East Coast food scene here in the food world. You know, everybody from Chef Chris Santos, you know, you've seen him on Chopped, and Chef Derek Prince, who's a buddy of mine, and Chef Timo, who was just a great guy. And of course, Mark Paquito was there, and I mean, just so many great people hanging out at this event. Steve Seabury, I mean, it's basically a who's who of the hot sauce world hanging out. And we were at Stanton Social down in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. I got Mark Paquito and his son to come with me. We ended up going to a bar called the Double Down, which is a whole other story itself. Literally, the I think probably one of the top 10 dive bars in the entire country. Folks, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm sitting at the bar. I look up at the TVs of the bar, and it looks like a... You just got to Google pictures of it. I'm telling you, I look up and there's midget porn happening on the TVs on the screen. I mean, it's something else. It really was like the epitome of a Lower East Side New York punk rock bar. It's a cool spot. I'm just stuck in my brain. Like, I kind of want to go back there. Not so much for the midget porn, but the ambiance of the place is just amazing. It was such a fun place. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy Chef Plum hanging out tonight here on a Thursday to make up for the Monday night show. You know, I thought maybe we should take a week off. It's fine to take a week off. But I got emails from people saying, yo, dude, what are you doing? And I was like, well, I can do tomorrow night. I can do this night. I can do this night. Well, let's do Thursday night. I'll do Thursday night. That's what we'll do. And our guest tonight, Matt Timms, I caught up with him. And I said, hey, brother, why don't we come on the show and talk about what you do? And Matt also judged the hot sauce with us. So great conversation with him tonight as well. But if you've been on them Instagrams any time in the past, I guess 2 days or so, especially my Instagram in particular, you've seen that my kitchen renovation is done in my house. I wish I had an applause button. I can make an applause sound, but really great experience. And it's funny to say that as a guy who had, you know, worked on their house, but really was a great experience, man. Honestly, my guy who helped me out did a great job doing it. And literally, we got the most amazing kitchen. We did. I have a 6-foot refrigerator. It's dope. I have a 6-burner stove with a flat top and 2 ovens and a hood unit that pulls 2,000 cubic feet of air per minute. It's no joke. Now, when I originally had drawn this up and looked at it, I wanted to make it commercial. I wanted to put a commercial kitchen in, but boy, does that present a lot of problems. I'm serious. A lot of problems. It's just not that easy. You just can't just do that anymore. The appliances have to be like 6 inches off the wall because they're not insulated as much. And they can burn your walls, which is crazy. So there has to be a bunch of like space in between there. You can't have like commercial, like true official commercial cooling units in your house because again, the compressors in them have to have so much air that they're not built. They're built to be kind of in the open. These are all things I learned. The flooring has to be different because commercial things weigh so much. But I'll tell you what, it's a series of things they call commercial, what do they call it? Residential commercial series, which are pretty much, I mean, my stove that I have now can put out 190,000 BTUs, which is insane. The guys, when they were installing it, told me, I'm not sure if your gas line can handle that. So we ended up getting it in and rocking it and turning everything all the way up and cranking it all on to see. And it works great. It works awesome, but we're still trying to figure it out. I did buy my stove used. I basically got a $15,000 stove for, you know, 1/15th of that, $1,000, and included the hood. So it was a deal I had to take. The one thing I've learned is that one of my pilot lights needs to be fixed. They have electronic pilots in them because, again, you can't have in a commercial stove where it has an open flame constantly burning. You can't have that in a house. It's against the rules. It's against the whatever the government says. You can't do that because, you know, all the kids and stuff will burn their hands on it, which is crazy because I remember being a kid and burning the underneath of my arm on an iron as my mom was ironing clothes in the kitchen, which I seemed like that's probably more dangerous than a pilot light, you know. I'll tell you what, I only touched that iron one time, though. I never touched it again after that. You learn your lesson. You know, maybe we can have more of that in our lifetime, especially this lifetime, where people just learn their lesson as opposed to trying to protect everybody. Sometimes it's not bad to get burned once, right? I hear I'm talking about burning children. That's not what I want to do. I'm not trying to burn your children, folks. I'm not trying to. Or maybe just once. Just one time to burn, and they learn. But, you know, we took down our wall to the dining room, and we have a very large kitchen now. I have an 11-foot island in there. I put in a sink on the island. Ooh, pardon me. And, you know, I wasn't so sure about that, but it's been great since. And I'll tell you what, the one thing we didn't do, which is hysterical, and I've been laughing about it ever since. I tried to think of everything, literally everything I could think of that would make life easier for me or make a better cooking situation for myself. The one thing I didn't do, you guys, was I didn't put a trash can near my cooking area. Like, everything I thought of but that. Like, so the trash can is actually on the other side of the island, so you have to walk around the island to get to the trash can, which is just, yeah, oversight. You know, it's very minor. It's not that big of a deal. It's an easy fix, but I thought it was hysterical. If you'd seen how much I had toiled and thought about this as far as where things should go in this kitchen. The one thing I forgot was to put a trash can near me. But check the picture out on Instagram, man. It's we're really proud of it. It looks great. It's one of those things that comes from years and years of hard work in this business to allow me to be able to provide something like that for my family. And we're excited about it, man. Seriously. It looks great. I can't wait to use it more and more and more. We have planning for change some of our seating around there. I'm actually going to have seating for 25 in my kitchen, which is pretty dope, dude. We're going to have that set up so I can actually possibly even have a pop-up dinner in my own house, but that's going to come down the road. But I think I want to, man. I think it'd be fun. I mean, where is this? Not announced where it's going to be, and then just do it, and then boom, here it is, pop-up dinner. You know? I don't know. I got another show announcement coming up soon. Your boy is taking on another radio program that I'm going to kind of mix and meld with this program over to start next month with our friends over at Stationhead. It's going to be a little more music and artist-centric, but it will also be available here. So if you don't have Stationhead, you can check it out here because we're going to record it and play it here on the week after. So give me a week off from doing a show. Not so much for me having a week off, but more about with me being in the summertime in Montauk and, you know, all the work and stuff that's happening with Restaurant Road Trip, the TV show, and the other show I'm working on, which we're going to talk about that soon. I'm going to need a little breathing space. So I think to kind of combine the two makes a lot of sense. It'll be a lot of fun, man. I mean, we're going to talk to cool people like Raekwon, dude, from the Wu-Tang. Seriously, like, I have an interview with Raekwon. Like, do you know how iconic that is for me? Dude, I'm losing my mind about that. So that's going to happen here very, very soon. We're going to make the announcement. But here on this program, I tend to run my mouth a lot and just say things. But if you haven't done so yet, get yourself on Stationhead. What you got to do is go to your iTunes store. Only available on Apple right now. Very soon will be Android, but right now just on Apple. Stationhead, look up Stationhead in your app store, and you too can create your very own radio station and curate your own music via Spotify and Apple Music, whatever service you use. We all have services now, right? I guess so. Anyway, great show tonight, you guys. I got Matt Timms on. Matt's a great dude. He's a judge with me when it comes to some of these food fun competitions that we do. He runs a great competition himself called The Takedowns, and The Takedowns are dope, man. It's amateur cooks cooking against each other based on a topic or a category. So a lot of fun talking to Matt. He'll talk a little hot sauce with him too, because that dude is a monster when it comes to hot sauce. You know, the hot sauce thing is fun, and it's one of those events. I mean, Adam Pock was there, a great friend of mine in the music business, and of course from Big Brother. It's one of those events that's just so wacky though, because you go there, you're tasting hot sauce, and it just gets to the point where everybody's offering each other milk. It's a bunch of grown men who are, you know, we'll talk about it more with Matt. I want to get more into it, but I'll talk about it with Matt. But wow, very, very funny. I'm jumping all around here, guys. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know. Yeah, I'm all over the board. As far as the kitchen goes, back to it, though, check the picture out. It looks great. We're really proud of it. I hope you guys dig it. I hope you guys like it. And you know, if you do, say a comment or put a like on there. It's done pretty well on Instagram. I was pretty surprised. You know, and so hopefully you guys will dig it. Hopefully we'll do a lot more, you know, a lot more dinners out of there, I guess. I don't know. It's tough because I used to do some catering work and stuff. I'd work out of the kitchen where I would have to cook at my house and then bring stuff with me. I try not to do that so much anymore. It's just more, it's easier to go to the house and do it wherever I'm doing the gig at. But with what I have here at the house now, maybe I want to do it here. it's I think I have a better kitchen now than a lot of the restaurants I've worked in, which is hysterical. You know, I don't know if I mean that in a good way or bad way, or if it's making fun of me or making fun of the other guys. But it's one of those things where you work so hard to get something. Yeah, you know, we've all done that. We've all saved money. We've all seen something we really want. We try really hard to get it. And then when you finally get it, you finally achieve that. It just feels great, man. It feels really good. You're like, wow, look at that feeling of accomplishment. Like, look at that. Like, I made this happen, you know? So my wife and I, we worked really hard. We have this kitchen, but the fucked up thing about the whole situation is once you do that, all you do is look around and go, huh, look at all the things we need to do to our house now. Not just our kitchen, you know, look, it makes everything else look like we need to do it and clean it up and revamp it and renovate it, make it look better. My house isn't old by any stretch of the imagination, but damn, definitely do a little work on it. That's for sure. It doesn't look bad, though. I make it sound bad. It's not bad. I promise. It's not bad. Anyway, you guys, I'm going to play a tune here, get my ducks in a row. When I come back, I should have our friend Matt with us. It's going to be a lot of fun talking to him. What song do I want to play while I pour myself a drink? And yes, holding strong still, have not had a beer since my birthday, since the beginning of the month. No beers for me. Ladies and gentlemen, please also, too, while we're talking about it, while we're sitting here hanging out, do me a favor. If you're on them iTunes, please rate, review, and subscribe on the podcast app. This show comes to you free once a week from your boy right here. I'll tell you what, those algorithms do help a lot when it gets those ratings, those reviews, even if you subscribe. I know we do have a lot of subscribers, which is pretty cool. So hopefully you'll throw my your brother. Just hit the five-star button. Just give me a star. You don't have to type anything. Just click five stars and rate it. Because, man, that helps a lot. So please, if and you can, throw me a rating in there because it makes a big difference and helps a lot of different things. So please, toss me a rating. I appreciate it. For real. Toss me a rating. It'd be great. Anyway, you guys, I'll talk to you guys in 1 second. Stay right there. Have a little social distortion to get this Thursday roll. That's what I think. A little social distortion. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
For friends like you, who needs enemies? You ain't right. You ain't never gonna be around. Shake my hand while you're pissing on my leg. I'm cutting you loose, I don't need this misery. Your soul is toxic, you ain't no friend of mine. No! You talk real trash when I'm not around. Build yourself up, you gotta tear me down. You have to excuse me, I better.
Hello? Tales from Distortion right here on Plum Love Foods Live on a Thursday, a thirsty Thursday. That's what we've got going on right now because of the Monday night. Still recovering from the New York Hot Sauce Expo. It was a lot of fun, man. One of my favorite events of the year. It kind of kicks off the entire festival season for me. We spend a Monday night judging and sitting around eating hot sauces. And it's a lot of fun. And I'll tell you what, one of the best things about the events like this are the cool people you get to meet when you're there. And a couple of years ago, I had the pleasure of meeting this guy who's going to be on our show here coming up in just a second. Matt is, dude, he's just a great dude. He's a super sweetheart of a guy, a very positive guy, a super friendly guy. And just, you know, he's a forward-thinking entrepreneur, the kind of people I like to bring to you on this program because the guy makes things happen. He's a doer. And to me, is one of the best compliments you can give somebody. So ladies and gentlemen, here's my buddy, the creator of the Takedowns himself, the one and only, the mad scientist, Mr. Matt Timms. Brother, good evening. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. This is super
cool.
Dude,
no doubt about it, man. I'm surprised we haven't done this yet. I thought for sure we had done this already, but we haven't. So I'm happy you're here.
Yeah. It's good to be here. I'm super psyched. I haven't done a podcast before. This is rad.
Bro, we were tasting hot sauces. This is my fourth year in a row of doing it. I think you've been doing it even maybe a year longer than I have. And it doesn't get any easier the more you do it. I don't know why we can keep torturing ourselves.
No, because these hot sauces are getting more and more varsity each year. And now they're talking the Pepper X that's coming out. And they're talking about all the, you know, yeah, that final category, I went down to the wire with like 25 different in the Triple X category, 25 different hot sauces, tried them all.
Yeah. This was the first year I ever had to bow out of it. I didn't bow out of it by choice because I won't tap out, dude. I love it. It's fun. I literally, the thing had gone longer. My car, I when you park in New York City, you have to tell them the time you're coming back for your car. And, you know, if I stayed any longer, it had gone up a ton of money. So I had to go back and get it. But I did get to do the Reaper category, which is also a pretty solid category to do. I mean,
yeah, and to be honest, I think the Reaper category was the toughest.
Really?
It was
harder than the other one?
15 different Reapers. I think the Reaper is still the hottest pepper.
Yeah.
I mean, well, the other category, the Triple X category, was all over the map.
It's everywhere, right? Man,
yeah.
So,
but
This is your fifth year doing this whole event, man. It's a lot of fun, and I always preach in this program whether you're doing a television show or whether you're doing events like this or whether you're doing some, you know, even like a national food competition or you're traveling to compete against food, man. You got to really live in the moment and understand what you're doing and take advantage of the opportunity. Half the fun of these events, I'd say even 80% of the fun of these type of events, is meeting cool people like yourself. I mean, look, you and I became friends through eating hot sauce together, which is kind of crazy, but, you know, don't you think, like, you meet just the coolest people at this sort of stuff?
Oh, man, and they come from all over the place, because it's definitely not, you know, aficionados gathering in the same vein as any other competition where, I don't know, it's a different breed that really wants to burn their face off, and as well as eat, you know, pretty incredibly constructed hot sauces. I mean, these are pretty world-class sauces made by brilliant people. But, man, it gets poo-pooed so quickly in the food scene. I'm impressed that you were part of it because everyone I talk to is just like, it's burning your face off. What's the point of that? You don't like food.
Now, there's
clearly
so much more to it. I mean, dude, think about when you and I were sitting at that table because we got to sit at the same table. I was very lucky to have you there with me because I love having a guy who's done it a couple of times and we're sitting there doing it together, and you know, think about how many times that we're commenting on it, be like, oh, well, I taste this, or you know, oh, well, this tastes a little bit more like, you know, flowers and honeysuckle, but it's hot sauce. Like, you really can get other flavors in there.
Well, that's the thing. I think once you develop that tolerance and can get past it, then you do get to taste everything, and it's the same way I feel about heavy music, death metal. Like, if you can get past the general wall of noise, you're listening to some incredible music.
The guitar playing is incredible.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Technically brilliant.
Right. It's amazing.
So,
it's
amazing to see. I think
you're right, man, but it's just meeting cool people, and like, I love it every year because it's just a fun group of people. And I laugh all the time because it's like you go right when you get to the river we're doing the tasting at. You walk in the door. it is literally a broken band of pirates that are in there. It's everyone from cooks to it looks like a biker gang and like a Jewish pep rally all happen in the same place. And it's that weird vibe for like a minute where you're not sure who to talk to or what's going on. But then, you know, by the time you get an hour into it, everybody's hugging each other and, you know, it's just super friendly and great people. It's funny how that stuff works.
It's a super sweet vibe, but plus everyone deserves to be there. And they all do seem to, in some way, be connected to the hot sauce world and obviously love hot sauce. And that's why the Screaming Meanie's pretty legit to get one.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's not an easy thing to get for sure. And what I love and what Steve's done with this whole event is how it's become, I mean, it's kind of becoming like recognized as a legit like food competition type event, like for hot sauces. I mean, he does them all over the place, but you know, the New York Hot Sauce Expo is kind of the creme de la creme of this, I think.
Isn't he doing one in Portland and then another one in
Chicago,
San Francisco?
Right?
Chicago, really? Yeah, he's really branching out. He knows how to work. Man.
Yeah, that dude, look, that man works his butt off.
Yeah,
he
really
does.
That's
the tough part about
it.
Well, maybe we could teach us that.
Yeah, I want to be rich.
Yeah, don't we all? Isn't that the plan?
Yeah, I mean, all my ideas, and I got like a bunch of things going on. I just take them to a certain level, and I have successful friends who always wonder why I can't take it to a next level. I gotta figure that part out.
You do, man. I'm living it in my life right now. Trust me, I know it's so hard to do, but. As a matter of fact, we have a mutual friend who sent me a text and wanted me to say hello to you. His name is Michael Petrella. I'm not sure if you remember Mike Petrella. He worked with a group called Simple Alien. He's a casting guy, a talent agent type guy. He talked to you about the takedowns, about trying to do something with it.
Oh, this was a while ago. Yeah.
He's a good buddy of mine.
Yeah, I'm still. That's cool. Yeah, I'm working on a possible TV show, so that's pretty sweet. And
it's funny. Let's talk about that
LA.
For a second. Let's talk about that for a second, man, because TV is a funny world, man. TV is a world that I work in on a pretty regular basis, and you know, I host a show, which has done pretty well. But it's interesting because the world's changing. It's changing dramatically, and it's no secret now that Food Network has gone through a lot of trouble and. Got purchased by Discovery Channel, and they fired a bunch of people. And then you have all these third-tier networks like Vice and FYI, and FYI is going under. But they're still around and doing stuff, and they're all, you know, kind of dipping their toe into the pool of food. But they're getting out of it very, very quickly because the world of travelogue shows that we all watch, which are basically those ones where, you know, someone's traveling, oh, follow me. It's what I fucking do. It's my show. They're tired of them and they're tired of competition shows. So it's changing up a little bit, man. And you know, no one seems to have the bigger networks don't have a digital plan set in stone because that's the way it goes.
Yeah, digital
we all have
plan.
These,
you got to get on YouTube.
Dude, well, not even YouTube so much as that we all have these, you know, 5-inch television screens in our pockets and we all watch video content on them that's 5 minutes long. I mean, it's really that simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no one sits down and watches. I don't watch TV anymore. You know,
I know. I mean, you know what? I watch classic movies, TV's. Yeah, you don't want to watch a whole food program, and food competitions are not interesting to me, and they never have been. So, I'm trying to make something completely different. But on top of that, I'm trying to expand it to all the other levels that I've got going on because it's not just food.
I think our painting. That's right. You do the knitting thing. I haven't talked with you about that yet. That's right. I know the cat thing too, but we'll touch on that in a second. But it's funny because you know the world. I remember now, like you know, when shows like Chopped and things like that first came out, it was a big deal. Oh, I did Chopped. It was great. Oh, I did second place on Chopped. That's great. And nowadays you have this group of people, and I say this every show. I get on my high horse, and I'm talking to two individuals in particular, Matt. This is self-serving for me, but. Who will go on a show like that, they'll lose, and then they want to then call themselves a public figure, and they're now a celebrity, and they'll get people to sponsor them. They'll buy a bunch of fake followers on Instagram, and they screw it up for those of us who are actually out there hustling, trying to do things, because now no one trusts anybody. And just because, like, nowadays, it's like, if someone's like, hey, I was on Chopped, I'm like, you and everybody else in New York, like, who fucking cares? Like, it's just the way it goes. Who fucking cares? no shit. It's more weird if you said, yeah, you know, I've never been on. I might be like, oh, let's talk about you never being on. That's more interesting. But do you see that too, Max? I know that you don't, in your competitions, it's not a lot of professional chefs and stuff, but I know they have those amateur competitions. Do people try to use that when they want to enter and kind of make that their marketing?
Yeah, they use the takedowns as a market. I mean, as something for their reel. Everyone talks about having won one and it's kind of become a bigger deal. So they put that on their reel when they try and enter these reality shows or whatever. And yeah, Chopped is like the one that a bunch of cooks have gotten onto. And then there's the World Series of Food or whatever out in Las Vegas. That's a big thing. People are trying to win that. Yeah, yeah.
The World Championships, the biggest who gives a fuck event on the planet. Let me tell you why I say that.
Shit.
Yeah, nobody gives a fuck. Who cares? It's the biggest. They're trying so hard to make it like we should all care about it. Nobody cares. Nobody gives a fuck, bro. It was last year. They contacted me and asked me to judge. They want me to come down and be a judge for this event, right? In Mobile, Alabama, the nationals of the World Food Championships, where it all comes together, right? And I was okay, cool. Sounds like fun. I'll love to go in there and judge. We'll have a great time. Why not? And so I judged several events across the country, and it's pretty simple what happens, right? You may not get paid, but obviously they'll take care of your travel and all that sort of shit because they're asking you to come, right?
Right.
Is that a crazy thing to expect?
I mean, they didn't pay for anything.
No, brother. They wanted me to come down.
And then the cooks all have to pay for everything too. I mean, they pay
exactly
to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's such bullshit, bro. They asked me. They were like, "Hey, could we have you? Could you do the radio show here and have some of the guys on and have our founder on and you know, could you come down? We're also going to line up TV. Could you TV for us? Because you're a better talker than the rest of us or some shit like that. And, you know, we'll have you judging these competitions. Could you speak at them and maybe do an interview?" I was like, yeah, whatever you guys need. I felt great about it. I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, why not? And then I said to them, who do I talk to about travel? And they were like, oh, you got to get yourself here.
Yeah.
Wait, what? No.
No.
How about no? Which is why they can't get any attention.
Oh, good.
Anybody
you said no.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. No, I'm not.
Okay.
Brother,
good.
No. I mean,
no,
the simplest thing of all time
either.
Is to get a plane ticket and a hotel room for somebody. That's just a given. That's what you do when you ask someone to come to your event.
Yeah. I was asked to go to the Austin Cat Expo out there, and they're not paying for it. What the hell is going on around here?
But they wouldn't pay to bring you out
free?
There?
No, I'm a famous cat painter, dude. This is crazy. I'm being abused.
This is
I'm
bullshit.
Being abused.
Listen, you're gonna have to write in your diary. Yeah, but honestly, man, that event. There you go. It's the biggest who gives a fuck event. Nobody cares. Stop it. It doesn't mean anything.
Well,
they're
starting a TV
nothing.
Show or something. I know very little about it because I've never watched it. I don't watch TV. No one watches TV. Like
thank
you. Said.
That's it. Nobody watches, dude. Nobody. Yeah. Brother, I host a show. Here in Connecticut on a local channel because people do still check out local television. And even my local TV people, they could care less what the ratings are. All they care about is the digital views. That's all they care about.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's,
I mean,
it's
God,
crazy.
I'm not saying I don't watch TV because I'm kind of hyped up intellectual and, you know, reading books.
It's
on my
the world we live in now.
Phone. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the world we live in now.
I did start reading
think
again.
About it, man.
I stopped for about 2 years.
Yeah, fuck words.
But now I'm reading. Yeah, fuck books.
Well, man, I want to talk about the takedowns, though, man, because it's a cool event. It's a cool concept. Talk about it a little bit and kind of where it came from and how many we've done.
Yeah, yeah. I started doing them about 15 years ago, and I started in my apartment and bringing people over to my place, and then immediately was like, this ain't working. Brought it to a bar. And had invited, you know, 20 cooks to make chili because I was wicked into chili. And so was everybody, especially if you're, you know, untrained.
Awesome.
But, yeah, I mean, stuff that you can just kind of kitchen sink it and go nuts and improvise. And there's a family recipe involved. So I was really getting into food like that. And and immediately it blew up. I mean, it got big. I was Village Voice was, like, really big at the time. And they were putting me on and. They're sending their reporters, and so next thing you know, I take it on the road. So I've been doing it around the country forever, but not just chili. Now I'm doing different themed events with, you know, and people weren't doing that, 15 years ago, at least not on the scale that I was doing it. And then events have come and gone and stuff, but I've stuck around, so it's kind of cool. 15 years of hosting home cooking events.
And a lot of
What's
people
that?
Come, right? A lot of people come.
Yeah, I sell like 200 tickets, so it's a nice
That's
little sized event. It's not insane, like lying around like the block, and you have to wait for 4 hours to eat everything, and you get one sample. I cap it at 200, so it's a beautiful size. Everyone can eat, and it's like all you can eat, and it's ridiculous party. Everyone gets wasted. It's so fun.
It's so fun. Everyone gets wasted. So what do? You get beer
well,
sponsors
yeah.
or like liquor sponsors? How does that work?
I mean, what happens is I get a venue to sponsor this or to give me the space, and they get the bar. So they're happy to have me on a Sunday afternoon. And sometimes I get liquor sponsors, but usually it's just to help the bar out. And that's why I can get the space pretty cheap. And they
nice.
Love to
so
fill it
like,
with a bunch of people
like
on a Sunday afternoon. Sometimes I get drink deals, but normally it's just about the food. It's a cheap ticket, so spending money on the booze is no big whoop. But, you know, get a bunch of beers. It's not like a crazy thing. It's a two-hour event, and I give the cooks, like, all the beer they can drink. That's for sure. But, yeah, for $25, you're getting, like, all-you-can-eat tacos next. That's my next event. It's, like, this month, the 22nd, and it's going to be all-you-can-eat tacos. I got a bunch of contestants, and I'm still looking for more if anyone's listening. They want to come to Brooklyn.
Damn. That's awesome. Mm. So you do it out in Brooklyn, and this one's coming up. When's it coming up again?
The 22nd. And it's at Brooklyn Bazaar, which is a pretty sweet-ass space. It's over in Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
Nice.
And it's a nice big – it was a big Polish wedding hall that they totally revamped. And, like, now it's for punk rock and my food event.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
And is it going to be a place where you can use it more than once? Like, we use the same place more than once?
Oh, I've been going there. Sometimes I go to the Royal Palms Shuffleboard Club, and I do events there. But for about a year now, I've been at Brooklyn Bazaar as well. So I kind of got that as my regular right now. Yeah.
That's great,
and
man, to find
really
a venue
really
like
well.
That.
Because they're good. They're really good to me. Huh?
And how many of these do you try to do a year?
At least 12, one a month. So
one
the
month,
next one's
going
to be
wow.
a garlic takedown. I'm just saying, make a garlic-themed dish, present that. Could be garlic, anything. And at the end of the day, it's going to be like, how do you use garlic? And you're going to be seeing garlic ravioli against a garlic dip against a garlic. My brain doesn't work. But, you know, lots and lots of different stuff. And
well,
like I do a big
is there a prize?
It's about the ingredient. Yeah, I got prizes from Cuisinart, Anolon, Microplane, big prize packages. So you get a Cuisinart Electric, usually like a food processor.
Yeah.
Some dehydrator, some fun stuff. Yeah, grills.
So what do you do?
All
do you reach out to Cuisinart? Like reach out to their marketing team and say, hey, I'm doing this event. You know, do you guys want to help
yeah.
out with this sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah. And they've been following because it always gets great press. So just to give a couple prizes my way, they're kind of psyched to do it because, I mean, it's a long-standing, steady event in Brooklyn, super popular. And so, yeah, I always get like six. Electric Cuisinarts and six pots and pans from Anolon and
wow.
yeah, and Microplane. Yeah.
Now, does this turn a profit for you now? I mean, I'm asking very personal questions, I know, but it's just interesting for me. That I do events myself, and like that's the hardest thing to do is actually make money on it. But you got to because it's a lot of work.
Mm. Well, it's just me. That's the one thing that's for sure. The best, smartest thing I did. I haven't taken it to the level of thousands of people where I have to pay a staff. Pay for a massive venue
right.
and maybe, you know, and then get huge sponsors. So that's a thing. It's kind of like this micro level where it's retained a lot of its integrity and a lot of its sense of fun for not having the corporate sponsors, but I'm definitely not rich. I'm keeping my head above water. I'm paying the rent. So
yeah, but
that's what's
good,
going on.
And it's fun. And it's fun.
Yeah. 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 Keeping it fun. I think that's important. To hang on to that authenticity as long as I can. But the funny thing is when you do get a big sponsor, because it's all home cooked, it actually doesn't change the vibes too much.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they do their thing. They're happy to be there. But at the end of the day, the centerpiece is always these home cooks. So you can't really, there's no way to really tweak that or ruin that, you know? I mean, really cool people.
Yeah.
Just like the judges of the hot sauce thing, super diverse people. not all chefs, no chefs allowed. I got a couple chefs judging, but these people are doing food because they love it. It's food as a hobby, food as a, you know, a passion and comparable to any other of their hobbies, you know? It's not
now, how
job.
Many portions do they have to make?
200. 200 tiny portions, though. What is that, like a big pot of chili or a big pot of mac and cheese or like a 200 meatballs? It's not backbreaking for sure. You can whip that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, for a home cook,
do you give them a budget or no?
Deal. No, sometimes I give them food. Like sometimes I get a meat sponsor. Sometimes a bacon sponsor jumps in and gives them all bacon to work with. That's pretty cool for the bacon takedown.
Yeah, that.
I'm gonna do that in when it's not hot. Yeah, it's super duper cool. And I got plans to take the bacon takedown on the road and bring that to a couple of new other cities. Kind of psyched.
Yeah.
I want to go back to Chicago because that's a fun town.
So I saw you've been to Chicago and Nashville, which is a great city too, and Houston and New Orleans, one of my favorite places in the country. How does that go?
Yeah.
How does that work out when you take it someplace like that? It seems like it's, you know, do you try to have more people? Do you try to have, you know, to market that out there?
It's, well, I'm always like approaching, you know, the food blogs and the periodicals and yeah, because I'm doing it on a Sunday afternoon, not a lot going on a Sunday afternoon. That's not brunch. And so
yeah.
I do fill a void. So that's pretty sweet. So there's that, but
that's
on top of that, yeah, when I bring it to LA, it's definitely a different vibe than when I bring it to Chicago. And I try and sort
like
of suit, I used to suit the event to the spot, like LA vegetarian, but
avocado.
At the end of the day, like everybody loves, I did an avocado takedown in LA. That was so amazing. I had an avocado sponsor. Avocados from Mexico was the sponsor. Yeah, everybody got a crate of avocados. And the only rule was no guacamole, which is a brilliant rule for a home cook. So suddenly they were making bread and they were using it as a butter. They were using, you know, they were making jellies. They were doing crazy, cool, fun stuff. That's why it's a pretty great time. It's super diverse, you know, in terms of like experimenting. And there's a lot of heroes and villains because, like I said, they're not pro cooks, right? So they're not.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's heroes and villains. You're gonna see some failures, but you're gonna see some wicked good stuff too. So lots to talk about. The hot date.
Dude, I've got to get out here to one
of
these.
A couple people
got
married.
I know you asked.
Take down.
Really?
Huh?
They got married.
Three different people have gotten married. Yeah.
Wow.
Met at the takedown. Got married. Pretty impressive.
That's insane. Look at that! You're changing lives.
Super
you're bringing love. You're like Cupid. You're Maddie Cupid.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. Let me ask you. So, I got to get out there. You asked me about a year ago or so to come judge, and I just couldn't. The schedule wouldn't let me do it. And but I do want to come and check it
you
out.
Can
it
never
sounds
judge.
Like just,
oh.
Bro. It sounds like a madhouse. I love it. I love this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But what are some of, you know, don't sell anybody out or sell anybody out down the road, but what are some of the, you had mentioned some of the failures, like you're like, yeah, you know, sometimes things don't work. What are some of the things you saw that just didn't work?
There was I do a cookie takedown, which is pretty bonkers because you're asked to eat a lot of cookies and that's a lot of work. But so usually about 30 to 40 people come to this thing. So you buy a ticket, you're going to eat 30 or 40 cookies, which is nuts.
Wow.
And one time, this girl walks up to me and is like, yo, you recognize me? And I said, no, I definitely do not. Who are you? She says, I'm your old babysitter.
Oh, shit.
It was my old babysitter. I was like, this is incredible.
Wow.
What'd you bring?
Wow.
And she said, I brought chocolate chip cookies with blue cheese.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh,
no.
And it tasted exactly like you thought it would. It was horrible.
Oh, no.
But this is my babysitter. And I love that she did that. That's the coolest ever. She totally, you know, experimented, tried something crazy off the wall.
Right.
Definitely didn't taste it at any point during the baking process. Just one little scoop of that batter, you know, like, oh, this isn't going to work. So she just unleashed it on this unhappy crowd.
Or maybe she's getting you back for
maybe
she's getting you back for some weird thing when you were a kid. Who knows?
Well, when I was six.
Yeah, maybe she was pissed off at you. So like, now I can finally get him. Unleash the blue cheese chocolate chip cookies.
Now eat it.
Wow,
put it in your mouth.
That's awful, man. What's another one? Come on, I know you got another story there.
I mean, the thing is that most of it's pretty damn good. I mean, I hate to think that, like, because even these failures, I'm loving it that they're trying. So I don't want to, like,
right.
diss anyone. She's an easy mark because she's super sweet, and if she hears this, she won't be mad. But then
right.
there is
well, what's
people,
something,
you know,
what's something that sticks out in your brain that was delicious? You're like, wow, that's amazing. I never would have thought of that.
So here's something I do at a takedown. I don't eat anything.
What?
I don't ever eat at these takedowns. I
How
mean,
do you not
because,
eat?
You know what? Because I'm the impresario. I'm the producer. I'm the guy that's freaking out all morning, all up until the moment of freaking out, praying that this thing's going to go well. My stomach's in knots until the whole thing's ending. And then I'll bring some Tupperware and I'll ask people to bring that some of that stuff home with me. And they will. So I got meatballs in my fridge from the meatball takedown. Pretty psyched about that.
Nice,
and the mac and
nice
cheese.
And done,
I still
sir.
Got mac and cheese in my freezer. How long does something
Nicely
last
done,
in the freezer?
Sir.
Do you know?
Depends
yeah.
on how
you know,
it's packaged. A month. Give it a month.
A month?
Yeah,
you know what's interesting about hot sauce? I think a hot sauce, I have hot sauces that are years old. And I think just the fact that they're in mostly vinegar or, I could be wrong
well, the
here.
The high acidity.
That, yeah. So you can keep them around forever.
Well, they do go bad eventually.
Refrigerated.
But they will go bad eventually.
Like bad
but, yeah, the high acidity. Well, I mean.
Mm. I have a hot sauce from What's
go ahead.
That?
No, go ahead.
I have a hot sauce from that guy, that Twisted Sister guitarist. And I got
oh,
drunk
no
one night and I opened it and it was like he signed the label and everything. It was this beautiful bottle. I got drunk one night and opened it like an idiot. It was really delicious. And so I have this half. I mean, not like the Twisted Sister guitarist hot sauce is going to make me $1 million. I don't need to like keep it, you know. Sealed, but that was
I think you get about I think you get about $6.50 for it.
Yeah, and I tried it the other day because I've had it around for about 5 years now. It's not very good. I think you're right. I don't think hot sauce lasts forever. You have a point.
He's like, yeah. I don't think you. Yeah, you're right. See, you can taste the second it goes bad. Trust me, you'll know right off the bat. So, talk about some of the crazy things coming up with these takedowns, man. What are some ideas that are stewing in that crazy brain of yours as to try to make home cooks?
I'm doing.
Do you?
Let's think. I got like the in Brooklyn. I'm doing the food on a stick takedown. I'm doing a sausage takedown. Doing the
nice.
Cookie takedown. Ice cream. Home brew takedowns coming up. I've got the next up is taco takedown. So the bacon takedown's coming up too.
Wow.
Did I say chili? Because that's obviously a biggie. Those are all the ones I got on the horizon. And it's one
any,
a month.
Any
it's usually
of,
a Sunday.
Also trying to do wings? Also trying to do wings ever?
No, I don't want to do wings because I like it when they cook these things at home and they bring it in and then I would want a wing to be like fried right in front of me and then presented to me. And I don't want anyone
right.
bringing like crazy equipment into this thing. It suddenly brings it to a bit of a headache. It's a much simpler event to produce if I don't have grills,
gotcha.
You know, on site and have to like get some sort of permits and shit. I mean, that's whack.
Yeah, it changes the game then, right? Changes the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. But I've got a takedown in D.C. coming up because I'm working with the meatball shop is going to open up a new branch out in D.C. So I'm going to do something
nice.
In conjunction with those guys. Yeah, it's good news, actually. That's a damn good meatball. So I'm doing
wow.
a meatball takedown. I don't know when. Maybe this summer, something like that. Yeah, you should come. You could
well,
judge.
Dude, I love that. I love meatballs. I mean, all the things you're talking about,
yeah.
I love all the time. These are all delicious things to me.
homebrew.
It's fun to see home cooks doing this though, because you just don't allow chefs to come in the door and do this at all, right?
Chefs are a headache. I mean, first off, they definitely. It would be horrible. It would be a different event. There'd be a sense of entitlement from anyone who bought a ticket. They'd be like, "Well, this is what I'm getting." It's just a different vibe. This is so. so laid back, and you get what you get, except what you get is always somebody trying their ass off because it's not their job, you know? And when a chef, okay, this is not true across the board. You're a good dude. But, you know, like, they're going to want something. This is something that they don't want to spend their Sunday trying to impress people they've already impressed. They've made a business out of their – they don't want to go do this. This is for, you know, a lawyer who wants to, you know, impress people or show that.
Right.
And there needs to be more of this, of what I'm doing. Giving – I mean, someone – because my mom was always, like, the best cook ever to me, you know?
Right.
And this is giving a platform to her, to people who's the only people that typically know that these people are brilliant cooks is their friends and family. So this is definitely a step up. And
dude, that's a great way. That's a great explanation. A great explanation.
Yeah.
You know, think about it like that. You know, your mom is a great cook. Is your mom a chef? Probably not, but she's a great cook. Like, that's a really great example, you know?
Oh my God. I think she's a brilliant cook. And when I talk to her about cooking, yeah, I mean, what she does, and she learned from her mom, but I mean, incredibly serious about cooking, but I don't know. The whole, like, celebrity around cooking has gotten it out of hand, like, made it some unattainable impossibility, you know?
Dude,
and
you,
I think everyone should
be cooking. Talking. When we first started talking,
huh?
You saw that I was we first started talking, you saw I was about to jump on my pedestal and start talking about that because it drives me crazy now, just all that shit. It just makes me nuts.
No, everybody, you know? and the whole food celebrity thing, I mean, with the shows, everyone's like, yeah, like you said, they're just trying to become famous. And I don't know.
Yeah.
So many cooks, you know, like they make it to TV and they're not good TV. That's probably why.
No.
Like, yeah, and like your average home cook probably isn't good TV either. I don't know.
Sometimes they are though. Somebody's grandmama or mama is usually pretty fun to watch on TV.
Oh, I know, but that's why you got to heavily produce these things and make sure you get the winners and weed out the boring people who are looking at the camera like 100-yard stare, like they've just been through Vietnam twice.
Yeah.
You know. And
hey, so I just got a message from my buddy Mark. You met him at the hot sauce judging, Chef Mark Paquito. He says, ask Matt if he'll ever do a pierogi takedown. That'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be nummy. Super nummy.
Mm-hmm.
And
not hard to do either.
Too.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people would be up for that.
That's a pretty cool one to do. I bet you can people do it.
Yeah. That's a great idea. I'm writing that down.
Hey, and when you do it, you got to have Mark come and judge it because he's a great guy. He makes amazing pierogies.
Yeah. That's a really good idea. Do you think it's a summer idea? How many pierogies can you eat in the summer?
I think fall. To me, it's like fall. Like the weather's starting to turn. A pierogi is a great thing to eat then. I think it's a great time for it. But it's a great idea, though, right?
That's
a great time to do it. Dude, I think a great summer event would be a rib takedown. That's amazing. Easy to make. Easy to bring. What a great thing to do.
Chef Mark's a good – he's a big Ramones fan.
Oh yeah, Chef Mark's
a
good dude,
with,
man. I like him. Yeah, he told me. Mark's also really old. Mark's like 100, and I think he's 107 now. I'm not sure, but even still, 107 years old, he's still a great cook, which is amazing.
I wonder if he's listening.
He is. I probably just texted me and said to tell you about the pierogi thing, but He knows I bust his balls about that. He's a good buddy. He's a great chef. He's a good friend of mine. He's one of those guys. You ever need something, you call Mark. You need to get rid of a body, you call Mark. He just sent me a text, Matt. He texts me and goes, "You're a dick." man. Well, these takedowns sound. Dude, you should give the judge a pierogi takedown. He's a great guy for that.
I love Mark's
a great chef, man. He's a good talker. He's a good talker, so he'd be great at it, man. Listen, I love all these takedowns. That sounds great. I got to try to make it happen because I'd love to come and just eat and hang out or come and judge, or maybe I'll disguise myself. If I put a mustache on, you won't know it's me, and I'll enter the garlic takedown. That's the plan. That's what I'll do.
Do it. Ooh, I wouldn't hate you. That would be great.
If I entered it as a competitor?
Takedown. I hope it resonates.
As a competitor? I can enter it as a competitor? Yeah, I wear a mustache. No one knows it's me.
As a competitor. Exactly. Everyone would freak out if they saw it was you. They'd be pissed.
I'll wear a mustache.
Anytime somebody gets in and they actually turn out to be a chef, I get all this, like, these people come at me, like, yeah, really, bro?
Has that happened?
Well, yeah, because sometimes, I mean, a lot of chefs don't really care. They're like, I just want to win a prize or advertise my business or whatever, and then they kill it. But, you know, they don't always kill it because Patrick said if you make something a million times, I don't know, you just fall into a zone versus somebody who's just doing it that one time. They could just to impress everyone, you know, in their family and their friends. I mean,
yeah, completely. Couldn't agree more.
If you're doing it for a job, I feel like it's a completely different experience. Is this true that most restaurants you go to, chefs aren't, well, they're not actually cooking for you. They've just designed the menu and they walked away.
A lot of places do that. Sometimes you have a chef there too, but a lot of times, the executive chef probably isn't doing a lot of the cooking.
And would you say that
people...
do you cook for yourself?
Absolutely, yes.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've
told people, huh?
What I do is a little bit different though too. I mean, I don't work in a restaurant anymore. I do private stuff and events,
right.
And you know, it's a little bit different. But I love what I do, and I still cook every day. And I get offered a restaurant probably at least once a month, and I say no because I don't want anything to do with it. But if I did, what little bit I have left. But it would also, I mean, I would be there every day because I couldn't let somebody else do it. I have to do it. I'm a control freak.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's why.
Yeah. I've been telling people all this stuff about cooks for so long that I'm starting to believe it. And it's totally not true. Cause like everyone's coming back from a different vibe. I do suggest that you know, these home cooks have this incredible passion, but, they can also make blue cheese cookies. So what do I know?
Well, brother, I love this. I think you're a great guy. You're a fun guy to talk to. And the one thing I love about you is that you're always smiling no matter what, man. You're a very positive guy. I think what you're doing is great for all the home cooks out there. So thank you for doing all this.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys, if you can, you make sure you check out and follow Matt on Instagram, @MattTimsWins. @MattTimsWins on Instagram. And, of course, the Takedowns on Instagram as well, right?
Yeah, the Takedowns. That's what I want people to do. And if there's anybody out there who wants to enter the Taco Takedown, I've certainly got spots for you. Should totally come and make
Damn
taco filling, and I'll give you it's very easy. You're just making all the filling, and then that's it. I give you the sterno, I give you the tortillas, and we hand them out to the people. It's easy.
Well, I got a brand new thing I just invented, Matt, and I want to run it by you for the Taco Takedown. Can I run it by you? A brand new invention.
Yeah.
All right, here you go. Ready? I started writing the commercial. I'm gonna do some of the commercial for you, okay?
Yeah.
Here you go. Tired of all your friends making fun of you for putting coleslaw and chili on your taco? Don't worry, Taco Dog is here. That's right, Taco Dog. It's a hot dog that fits into a taco. What do you think?
You invented a thing.
Don't let your friends make fun of you for putting mustard on your taco. With Taco Dog, mustard's A-OK. It's Taco Dog.
Oh. That's a bummer. Yo, you know what I'm eating?
What's that?
Kimchi hot dogs. Oh,
ooh.
That's my. That's the only way I'll eat a hot dog now. Huh?
That's so Brooklyn.
I just found out about them over at Snacky's, that little restaurant over in Brooklyn and Williamsburg. It's been there for a while. They make kimchi hot dogs. Amazing.
Well, man, listen, I got a whole new show starting very, very soon here. It's actually going to be taking place in Brooklyn, so I'll get in touch with you. You got to come check it out, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Love to have you there. It'll be a lot of fun. It starts in May. So I'll keep you in the loop.
What is
text it? You. And of course, I can't talk about it yet. It's a show with Spotify and Station Head, and it's pretty sweet.
What?
Yeah, it's
amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about that.
Music
related?
Brother, yes, it's going to be more music. Music and artist related. Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Brilliant.
Pretty much. You know, that's the way it goes, man. I do whatever. I like to, it's not fun. I don't want to do it. And you, my friend, are super fun. I love having hot sauces with you. I love at least our one time a year we get together and hang out. It's always a good time. And brother, you have an open door here whenever you want. Just let me know. You're welcome on whenever you want.
Thanks. And tell people about my what about All the Bad Cats?
I mean,
you don't have a cat, do you? This is really important.
I have two cats. I have two cats,
yeah,
a dog.
You
I have three,
your cats
I have three kids, man. No.
Oh.
All right. Yeah, we should talk. I'm not going to go. You're right. I was about to wrap it up, but we got to talk more about the cats and what the fuck is wrong with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about it. Talk about it. You're painting cats.
Yeah, I've been painting cats for 2 years now. It's all I do. And I like on allthebadcats.com, and I'm getting all these cat photographs from around the world. People are asking me to paint their cats, and so
are
I'm
you serious?
Doing it on commission. Yeah, and I'm going to be at a cat expo in May called Cat.
You're
Camp.
Going to that?
And there's going to be. Well, I'm the special event. I'm the celebrity cat artist that's doing 2 days of live cat drawing in a specific time. I'm going to be hanging out with a celebrity cat.
Whoa,
last year there was
holy.
A celebrity cat there named Lil Bub. Do you remember Lil Bub?
Mm-mm. I don't.
Lil Bub is.
Tell
humongous.
Me about Lil Bub.
Lil Bub is like it's a cat with a degenerative disease that. So he's like a permanent kitten.
Oh.
You know, he's like Webster. He's like the Webster of cats. And he just like he has these tiny little legs and these tiny little paws and these big eyes. He looks like a cartoon of himself.
And he hates people, right? He just hisses at people.
No, loves people. His tongue's always hanging out, his dopey looking face. Oh, you just want to squish him. Oh. But he's there. He was there last year. I don't know who the celebrity cat will be this year, but I do know that I'm going to be doing it. It's what's his name? Jackson Oliver? Is that his name? He's going to be hosting. He's this crazy guy with, like, earrings, shaved head, loves cats. Anyways.
Dude, what in the hell is – what are you doing in this world? What is wrong with you? I'm worried about you now.
Dude, I'm painting – you got it. I'm trying to paint 1,000 cats. So I started
– How close are you?
I'm at about 400, 500. 400, 500, something like that. But I think I'm just going to keep it going. Cause it's pretty cool. It kind of zens you out, and I'll do I do these big drawings with like hundreds of cats on them, and I'll like live stream that. But yeah, this woman from Hong Kong just emailed me just as we were talking. She wants her cat painted. Cat's named Soba. She wants her cat in Hong Kong painted. So
how much
do
you charge?
It.
How much does it cost me to get my cat painted?
It's $80. I'm giving it away. I don't
Why
do
$80? That's a random number.
Yeah, because I think it's not 100. It's a little tiny watercolor. I'm not famous. And I would love to charge. I think it should be reasonable to charge like 200, 300. But then less people are going to want one. And I'll never paint 1,000 cats.
I mean, so if we were to say that you painted, let's just say you painted 400 cats at $80 a pop. I mean, you're looking at what? 4 times 8 is, what, 36? Is that right? Or 28?
Yeah.
So you made almost $30,000 painting cats. That's insane.
Yeah. No. I'm a working artist, dude. I'm a working artist,
wow.
And I throw huge food events. And that's how I'm...
That's pretty
I'm
awesome,
working.
Brother. I'm not gonna, how long does it take you to paint a
life?
Cat? How long does it take you to paint a cat?
Like, half an hour? They're little
that's
tiny
okay,
waterfalls.
That's not bad.
Go to allthebadcats.com. It's on Instagram. It's all the bad cats. I only paint bad cats. It's so sick. I squander all my money on poker. So that's why I suck at life.
Oh, my God.
I'm a degenerate.
You're the funniest guy I know.
Poker?
This is crazy.
You don't play poker, do you?
Oh, I play blackjack.
I think I asked you this. Oh,
yeah,
right.
I'd like to play poker.
Yeah,
I played a little poker. I played a little poker, but... It's a little bit more in depth for me. Yeah. I'm trying to find all the bad cats right now. I just Googled all the bad cats and it didn't come up.
Oh, well, go to the Instagram. Go to Instagram.com
/allthebadcats.
Then you're going to find everything I post up. And
that's amazing, brother.
You're
getting a lot of comments now.
Look at all the bad cats. Huh?
Dude. You've really taken me to a different level. Like right now, I don't know what to say. Like I talk to people about food and shit, and here we are talking about cats, and you paint cats. I love it.
Yeah. Look at this. There's Jeremy, the worst cat. Vlad. There's Pepsi. Pepsi's a bad cat. Warren. Warren's a terrible cat.
Matt, I gotta ask you.
Pumpkin.
Did you just do a lot of bad drugs at some point, or?
Oh, always. No, you know what?
Hey.
I just quit smoking weed. You want to know why? Because
why?
I took a hit off one of these pens that was so powerful that it was like, first off, why do people want to make weed this powerful? It's not a competition. It's like, well, I thought we were all just going to try and have a good time. And so I took a hit off this weed, and I heard my own voice saying in a regular voice in my ear, "You're going to die. You're going to die," over and over. My own voice saying that in my ear. So
this is not fun. That's not fun.
No, it wasn't fun at all. And it was just a one hit, and that's never happened to me before. So I'm like, I'm feeling it. Yeah. I mean, I just need a couple beers. I just want to relax.
Dude, that's a crazy story. Like, I can tell a story along with that, man. We gotta wrap this up. But and by the way, you guys, if you don't, you gotta go to All the Bad Cats. Go check out All the Bad Cats on Instagram and follow it. Because, dude, these pictures are kind of artsy and kind of like Adult Swim Cartoon Networky. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, they're cool. At least you should check out Clover. Oh, Clover's so cute. Or George.
I look at Clover right now. I'm looking at Clover right now.
Yeah.
Look at Clover.
Remdog.
Clover's cute.
Yeah, Clover.
That's funny.
Yeah, super cute. Great
so
name.
I don't smoke a lot of weed. I don't smoke a lot of weed, man. I don't. I've always been a drinker, but occasionally I would dabble. And I happened to be at an event at Mohegan Sun in January, and one of the people I was hanging out with had some edibles that were like medical, like you know, government made edibles or whatever, right? And one of them in particular was some Nerds Rope, and she was like, "Yeah, just take a little bite off of it." So I took a little bite off this Nerds Rope, right? And I haven't done any kind of like not on a regular basis in a very long time. And so she started a countdown on me as we left and walked down. I was going to go find a blackjack table and play a little blackjack. But as we progressively got down and walked around the casino, I was like, yeah, I don't want to play that table. I don't want to play that table. Brother, next thing I know, I wake up, right? I am at the Ellen DeGeneres slot machine. I'm up $28.50. My buddy beside me is like, "Dude, you're winning." And I was like, "What? What the hell is happening?"
Wait,
I go up to my room. Oh, yeah, $28.50. I make my way back up to my room. That's $28.50. I woke up, and I was up.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
I go to my room. I make my way back up to the suite, and I'm getting myself together kind of in bed. Everything's kind of like in flashes. Like, it's not like – it's like all of a sudden now I'm in the living room. Flash. Now I'm all of a sudden in the bathroom. Now I'm brushing my teeth.
Whoa.
It was weird. And I start, like, asking myself, is this my room? I'm like, you're not in your room. This is not your room. How'd you get in here? This isn't your room, right? So I'm kind of starting to tweak a little bit. Next thing you know, my wife texts me, and I just look at my phone, and I'm like, fuck, what do I do now? She wants to talk to me, and I don't know where my face is. So, yeah.
Dude, that's not fun.
No, it was not fun at all.
No, that's brutal. That's horrifying.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's
I was like,
my
I'll just drink.
Been.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
I'll
drink.
Just take a drink in, man. I'm good. I'll just stick with drinking. That's all I'll do. That's it. Listen.
So you know what
Matt,
I started doing? And this is how I get free beer?
How?
You want this is I know you want to go. You got stuff to do.
No, it's okay. Tell me your story. We're good, brother. Go ahead.
Oh, well, no. I started throwing these charity events where I get 20 people to paint. The next one's going to be painting hamburgers. They all have to paint a painting of a hamburger. But I do an auction and I raise all the money for a local animal shelter. So I get Lagunitas to give me, you know, 50 cases of beer. So now I've got all this extra beer left over in my apartment from the last thing. That's how it's a great gig, dude. If you can get it, just
wow.
Painting. It's a big painting event. And I'm trying to bring that around the country too. I think that's a really good call to try and get people painting, get local artists painting. And then you give all the money to charity. If I can figure out how to monetize that,
well, it's simple. I can tell you how to monetize it. You are working at it, and so you should pay yourself a little fee for putting the event together, and then
make
the fee a slightly less than what you normally would. So then you could say you're donating some of the money to charity, your time, right? And so I do these events called Food Fight, right? The charity events we do 4 a year. It's 2 chefs compete against each other inside of a warehouse with makeshift kitchens and camping stoves. It's very fun. And a secret ingredient.
Wow.
It's dope. It's all for charity, and there's a raffle and all kinds of stuff. But when we do them, you know, it's 80 people. It's not a lot of people. We don't do more than that. And it's very like, you know, it's very like inside of a warehouse. Like, it just feels kind of like underground. It's very cool. But, you know, we do those events. We raise, you know, we raise $800, $1,000 for a charity in a night. We do small charities, which that amount of money would be a big deal for. You know, you give that amount of money to like the Leukemia Society or whatever, which I'm sure is a great charity, and they need help, but they don't care about that. But if I give it to like the local food bank, they're like, "Holy shit, this is great!" You know, they love it.
Exactly.
Like, we gave some to this local uh, this local, there's a hospital here. It's a small hospital that basically does just kid stuff when they can't afford to get healthcare done. And they do things even like if a kid wants to play sports in high school and needs to get a physical, they'll give them the physical if their parents can't pay for it. It's pretty cool. So they still can feel like they're part of the stuff, you know? You know, so we did an event.
Oh,
we had two chefs cook. Yeah, I had two chefs cook against each other. It was great. They had a secret ingredient. It was coconuts. Our thing was based off of like spring break. 80 people, man. It was a lot of fun. I partnered with a local wine and beer shop. They hooked it up with wine and beer for me. And, you know, a restaurant that I'm buddies with, they brought food down, which was really good. And it's just a really fun night. It's a $25 ticket, man. And you come out and it's open bar and food and a great show, right? And we take the money that we give to charity and we all take a little bit, not much, like a couple $100, you know, because it takes a lot of time to do the event. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It takes a lot of time. And, you know, because basically I look at it like this. I would make a shit ton more of that than that on a Saturday night. But, you know, so I'm donating my time and, you know, that's how I look at it. So it's fine. You know, you're going to spend a bunch of hours putting an event together to, you know, it's just part of putting it together. It's a part of the making it happen sort of cost, you know?
Right. And I think if I can, but here's the thing is that because I'm not making a ton of money, you still got to give them a somewhat impressive amount of money. So I think I'd probably break even, but I don't care. I really don't care about the money, except
well,
that if I
could
take it on the road. I want to make it to Austin.
Yeah.
Huh?
But bro, like what's an impressive amount of money? Like if you give them $500, I'm sure they're happy, especially with the local, like
you're right.
If it's a small local thing, they'd be stoked. I mean, that's food for an animal that's food for several animals for like a year. Like, are you kidding me? That's
true.
More money. You're giving them money. They don't have to do anything. You're giving them money.
Well, that's the next thing I do. And next year, maybe even at the end of this year, I'm going to be touring around doing cat painting takedowns where I get 20 artists to paint cats.
It's sounds like you're going to start a cult. It's going to be a cult. I'm worried.
Auctioner. You know, auctioning
are you?
Is my gift. I was born to do this. Just
do
yelling
you have the
numbers
auctioneer
out.
Voice?
Yeah. Yeah, I do all that. Give me blah, 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 blah. I can't do it now, but I'm so fast.
Oh, shit,
so
I want you to do it. I want you to do it. I want you to do it. Shit, I want to hear the auctioning, man. That's awesome. Well, here's what we'll do. I'll get you to come to a food fight, and you can do all the raffle auctioning for me.
I'll totally do it. When's your next food fight?
It's going to be in the summer. I think probably – we're not totally sure yet. We're working the dates out now, but they want to do a charcoal grill one, which would be a lot of fun. So we're going to figure it out. It's going to be fun. Yeah, it's Connecticut. It's easy to get to, though.
Yeah, take a train. No biggie.
Marky V, Mark Makito just said, cats eating pierogies. That should be the next picture you paint. There you go.
You know what else I did? I got the, what's it called? An iTunes iMessage app. For all bad cats, so you can like text people pictures. So I figured out how to be an iTunes developer, and I figured out all the software. And now there's like for 99¢, you can download all the bad cat stickers to send people mean shit that cats are saying.
What? Dude, you're kind of really smart, man. I think that this is awesome. And how many people have downloaded the app? Do you know?
Thousands.
Wow.
Like thousands around the world. Yeah. Really cool. It was featured for a minute on Apple on their website. So
that's pretty cool.
I was like a featured they loved me for a minute. So ever since I've been getting sick downloads.
That's
you know who
awesome,
downloads
man.
It the most? Russians. Russians love cats so much.
Yes. We out. Like cats very much. I like to send you a cat picture to your telephone. I use a application on my phone to send you a cat picture when I'm very angry.
They are
or maybe
huge
when I want
into animals.
Dude, that's crazy. You, sir, are I don't know how to explain you. You're just a jack of all trades, brother. That's what you are.
I got a lot of stuff going on. That's some of it.
That's awesome.
But yeah.
Well,
damn it.
Well, dude, listen. The takedowns. You gotta check out the takedowns. You gotta check out all the bad cats. Download the app. Listen, if you're looking for a guy to come and auction off your house, if you're having an estate sale. Hit up Matt. He'll take care of all the auctioning for you. Whatever you need, he's got it. You need some bacon. I'm really good. You need some bacon. He'll take care. He's got a whole way to get free beer for you, too. This dude's got the entire world figured out. I think he might be my hero, Matt.
That's hyperbole, but thank you.
Dude, always love chatting with you, man, and we'll talk to you on down the road, all right?
All right, man. Cheers. Thank you.
All right, brother. Be good. There he goes, guys. Matt Timms, the creator of the Takedowns, and of course, all the Bad Cats. I had no idea he'd taken that cat thing to that next level. That's incredible, man. That's super cool. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here, man, make myself a cocktail. I got to be in the Hamptons tomorrow morning, so I'm going to make that happen. Please take 2 seconds and give us a rate and review. Just click the 5-star on the podcasting if you can, because it really does a lot of stuff for us and makes the show so much better. So please, if you have 2 seconds, do that. Big shout out to everybody checking the show out tonight. Big shout out to our friend Matt Timms, the creator of the Takedowns and all the Bad Cats. Follow him at Matt Timms Wins on Instagram, and of course the Takedowns on Instagram, and of course all the Bad Cats on Instagram. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is of course Chef Plum. It hasn't changed, and I'm trying to click a button. There it goes. There it goes. There it goes. And we'll see you guys Monday night with another show, man. Looking forward to it. Hope you have a great, great week, a great weekend. If you're working, guys, remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Make sure you give it the time it deserves. I'll see you Monday. Peace.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I pray.